Welcome to Light Embassy Church.
Living life to the full.
Welcome to another life-transforming show, bringing clarity and balance into your walk of faith.
Apologia. And our team scripture is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 1 from verse 16 to 17. I'm reading from the KJV. Paul the Apostle says, "The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bounds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Again, says one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bounds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. The Christian, and that means every Christian, is an apologetic. You know, even though there are certain Christians who have branded themselves as apologetics, in truth, every Christian is an apologetic. You see, it's not the singular honor of few Christians to be apologetics. Every Christian, you have been called to be an apologetic. Who is apologetic? He is a defender of the gospel. When you say, "I am a Christian," this is what it means. It means you are supposed to be a stickler, defender, and a testimony bearer of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This applies to all what pertains to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. It is sad to find some Christians rather basing on human experiences to oppose the word of God. Sometimes you quote the word to a Christian, but he or she responds with, "What about the experience of this brother or even pastor?" Now, they don't make such statements as an inquiry. No, it's real. Most of them is a negative statement. Really, what they are trying to say is that if the word of God or the scripture you are quoting is true, why then the experience of this Christian or this pastor that I hold in high esteem, if what you are saying is really true, why is his experience contrary to what the word of God says? For instance, if you tell a Christian that you should not die from sickness, because the Bible says you shall drink any deadly thing. Jesus himself said that, and it shall not harm you. Some of them, their response will say, "But this Christian died from sickness. This Christian died from cancer. He died from tuberculosis. He died from this disease." Now, when they say this, really what they are trying to tell you that, because I hold this pastor in high esteem, this Christian in high esteem, and this happened to him, then that word you are quoting cannot be true. They don't really say it that way, but that's what really they mean. Beneath the surface, that's what they mean. But such folks lack wisdom because they forget that what, as a servant of God or a minister of God, we say is not our own words. When as a servant of God, I come preaching and teaching Christians the word of God, it's not my own words nor my own wisdom. These are the wisdom of God, the word, God's word that he gives to the servant to propagate on his behalf. So, but who is a servant of God? He's just a vessel. He's just a medium through whom God communicates his mind to his people. So when he comes with you, with the word of God, and you reject the word, it's not him that you are rejecting. You are rejecting God and his word. It's not that, you can be even angry. Some of them tend to be angry at that man of God. It's not the man of God that you are angry at. You are angry at God. And Jesus communicated this wisdom to the church. When we read John chapter 13, that's why he said that he that receiveth whom I sent receiveth me, and he that does not receive whom I sent does not receive me. Why? Because the prophet said, "Him that God sent speaketh the words of God." So when God sends someone, he comes with his word. So when you receive that person, you have received God. If you don't receive that person, you have rejected God. As long as God is concerned, that's how he sees things. That's how he sees things. So even when you find it hard believing, it's wiser and better to keep quiet and not make any derogatory statement concerning what that person is saying, especially when he backs you with the word of God. You have to be wise not to be angry at such things. Because God will not take it lightly. God will not take it lightly. It is very important. You see, Job was a good man, an upright man. But Job also had this problem. Many times, when many Christians are talking about Job, for instance, when we quote certain things to Christians, they will tell you that, look at even Job, what he went through, right? They will tell you those things. But such Christians, they forget that Job, though he was a good and upright man, when God said that Job, and God himself bore that testimony about Job, that Job was a good man, he was indeed an upright man. He didn't mean that Job was a sinless man. But sometimes when some preachers even are preaching about Job, you preach about Job as if Job was a sinless man. No, there is only one man who walked the surface of this earth and never committed sin. There's only one man. And that man's name is called Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, anyone who have walked this earth has committed sin before. So when God said that Job was upright, he didn't mean that Job was sinless. He was saying that Job was that man. When he found out that he was wrong, when he found out that he had made a mistake, was that man who will not be proud and will admit it and repent and then go on. That was that man. And God looked at that character of Job and he pleased God. So when God in Job chapter 1 says that Job told Satan that, have you considered my servant Job that is upright? You see, the man of Ar, of the Chaldeans. He didn't mean that Job was a sinless man. Because here, Elihu points one mistake of Job, one character of Job, which was displeasing to God. So the Bible says, the young prophet Elihu said to Job, thou have done foolishly, for it is better to justify God than yourself. Yes, it is better to justify God than man. Because Job was justifying himself to his three friends, Zophar, Eliphaz, and Dodak. He was justifying himself to them, saying that, I'm upright. I've done this, I've done that, but why should this come to me? So when you look at the communication of Job, he was justifying himself. He was trying to say that God has perverted judgment. But there was this young prophet who was wiser. He was angry at the three friends of Job, but not only that, he was also angry at Job. So the Bible says that then was kindled the wrath of Elihu. The hot anger of Elihu was kindled against Job. So it says that then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled. Why? He goes on to give us the reason. It is because Job justified himself rather than God. See, Job was a good man, a wonderful man, but he had this problem, justifying himself above God, rather than God. And many Christians, wonderful Christians, are like that. When you are talking to them, many of them, especially when they are in problems, they try to portray a character which shows that they are justifying themselves rather than God. For instance, this person will come to you with a problem, you quote the word of God to that person, and his response shows that, if the word you are quoting is true, why am I going through that? Why is this brother going through that? Why is this sister going through that? No, that is not why. Wisdom. Wisdom will just consider the word and say that, oh, brother, oh, sister, please show me the word. Show me the word. You have quoted it from the word. Show me the word. Let me give you an example. Here is a person, maybe he has gone to the hospital, he has been diagnosed with a disease, deadly disease. And they even don't have a solution for this person. They have branded him that he's going to die. But he's a good Christian. He has been serving God all his life. He's a good Christian. But he doesn't understand why he had this problem. Then he comes to a man of God. The man of God says, no, the Bible says you shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. It says that you shall lay your hands on it, it shall recover. It says that healing is for you. It says, bore your sicknesses. You say all these things to that Christian. The wise Christian will say, man of God, I don't know where I have wronged God. I don't know where I have wronged the word. And I see what you are saying is from the word. God's word cannot be a lie. Once it's in that word, God is true. God knows more than me myself. You see, he's wise. He knows that he doesn't know it all. God knows also. God cannot be wrong. So you see that the word you are quoting is true. please, can you show me more about this thing that you are quoting? And God, when God looks at that man, God says, wow. But the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro. You see, he's considering to show himself strong on the behalf of that man or woman whose heart is perfect towards him. So God is pleased with such people. And God looks at that and says, wow, this man has justified me rather than himself. And watch, if that man humbles himself, he's going to come out of that problem. The other Christian who is proud will die out of that same sickness. That is the difference. That difference is called wisdom. And sometimes many Christians have not been taught this. We call it the wisdom of God. You don't justify yourself. You justify God rather than yourself. We are Christians who haven't learned how to walk with God. We have to be trained and taught how to walk with God. Walking with God is not just about going to church and singing songs of worship. No. All those things are good. But there's a way to walk with God. For God is a spirit. When you are dealing with God, you're not dealing with your neighbor or your father or mother. You are dealing with a God who is a spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and he that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there's a way to walk with God. You see, you have to learn how to walk with God. Such Christians who have not learned how to walk with God, they justify their experiences and the experiences of others above God's words. But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. He didn't say, let God be true and the pastor too be true. So he didn't say, let God be true and some men be true. He said, let God be true and every man, including that pastor or that Christian, be a liar. Let God's word be true. Another saying, what was saying, that let God's word be true and every contrary word of a pastor, a Christian, every contrary experience of a pastor, a Christian, be a lie. That is what God was trying to tell us. God remains the truth. The true. Such folks are not fit to be apologetics. The apologetic is a stickler for God's word. Being an apologetic is not just about defending that Jesus died on the cross. It includes defending everything that pertains to the gospel. Now, there are also some wonderful Christians who brand themselves as apologetics. And what they are doing is good, but some of them lack a certain understanding. When the Bible says you are an apologetic, it's not just about you defending that Jesus died on the cross and is a savior. Jesus died on the cross for a purpose, for a reason. There is a reason for the cross. Jesus didn't just come and die on the cross. He died on the cross for something. He wanted to achieve something. Now, if you don't defend what was achieved by the cross, forget defending the cross. Because you see, there are some Christians who will defend the cross, that Jesus died on the cross, but they will not defend divine healing. You are contradicting yourself. You are contradicting yourself because divine healing, eternal life, righteousness, all these, all the other goodies, the kingdom, all these are based on the cross. So, if you not defend the reason for the cross, you defending the cross alone is baseless. It's a contradiction. So you have this Christian, he's defending the cross, but he's an opponent. He opposes these other things, which are rather the result of the cross, right? So it's ignorance. No, you cannot be an apologetic. Means that you are defending the cross and the reason for the cross. Everything, but it's not about just words. Everything that the cross produced and provided. So Paul says something to the Corinthians. He says that God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So not in words of man's wisdom. He says, lest the cross of Christ be rendered vain, empty, of no reputation, ineffective. So Paul was saying that the cross is not just about words. The cross was for something powerful. Defend those things. Such character, who is the true apologetic? The true apologetic gives a verbal and attitudinal defense supported by scriptures for the gospel and all that pertains to it. He will even die for his faith in God's word. That is the true apologetic. Such characters were the three Jewish friends of Daniel, who said to the king, so the Bible says, when we read Daniel chapter 3 from verse 16 to 18, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What a communication. It says, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. Some Christians will end there. No, faith doesn't end there. Faith goes on to say, O King, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, what these three Jews, young Jews, were saying is that death is not even enough to separate us from our God. So Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? Is it tribulations? Is it problems? Nothing will change us from our confession. The apologetic fears no death and will defend God and his word no matter the situation, no matter the case. This is why most true apologetics end up as martyrs. God is looking for men and women who can cast their lives on his word. Like Paul, God is looking for people who will stick to, in my name they shall take up serpents when bitten by snake. He is looking for men who will stick to Jesus as being the Christ when on gunpoint. People who fear death can't uphold such things. We are getting soon to a period when some Christians are going to deny Jesus because they fear death. And the Bible actually talks about that, that it will happen, that many will fall from the faith. And one of the reasons which will lead to many falling from the faith is because they will love their life. They will love their life above Jesus. Why? Because many Christians have not been, and that's why most of them are praying to be raptured before the tribulation. A wrong doctrine. You see, they are hoping that they will be raptured before the tribulation. But that is not what the Bible is saying. Because they fear death. Because of the fear of death. But throughout the Bible tells the Christian not to fear death. You see, that Christ has saved you from the fear of death. As long as you fear death, you are in a big problem. You are going to deny Jesus on gunpoint or when pain becomes tough. The Bible shows that many Christians will do that in the last days. Because in these last days, as you are getting closer, you are just there. You see, things are going to be hard in the world against Christians. And if you take firm faith in Christ for you to uphold your Christian standards. See, these people have preached a Christianity of weaklings. You see, they are leading people astray. You have to study your word, who the Christian is. The Bible says the Christian is a soldier. And it says that a Christian, as a soldier, is to endure hardship. So many Christians are not privileged to be taught and trained rightly. So they are weakly and beggarly in their faith walk in Christ. No, as long as you are like that, your faith will not stand the test of times, especially in these times and dispensation that we find ourselves. People who fear death can't oppose such things. They cannot oppose such things. This is because they have not been properly taught and trained. But please, let's observe the very words of Jesus himself. Jesus said to his disciples, these are the very words of Jesus. Yes, these are the very words of love himself. He said, if any man will come after me, Jesus said, if any man, means that what he's saying applies to any man, everybody, every Christian, not only Peter and Paul. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, when you hear Jesus making such a statement to every disciple of his, then as a Christian, you should not find it difficult believing that the church will be here through the tribulation. You should not find it hard believing that the church will be on this earth through the great persecution. You should not find it hard at all. For Jesus said, if any man shall follow me, let him take up his cross. Christianity is not about being always in a comfortable zone. There are many Christians in China who by day, they are imprisoned and killed. Many people in these communist regimes, in Russia, you see the Federation of Russia, in other parts, in India, in other parts, Pakistan, and other places, presently, who are being killed in Sudan because of their faith in Jesus. Do you think if you are in Africa or you are in UK, you are better than them? No. So if they, in these present times, they face such torture, don't find it difficult, and they are Christians. Jesus loves them. The same way he loves you. Don't find it difficult at all when he says that the church will be here through the great tribulation. Don't find it at all. Hard at all to believe that. But you have to train yourself so that when that time comes, you are full of the word to stand the test of time. Every Christian is supposed to take up his cross, not only Paul and Peter. Be an apologetic. Be a defender of the gospel. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our weekly podcast and download our app, Light Embassy Church. Stay on the channel for the next episode.